episode of Backlog Breakout, where we go through our backlogs. Backlog of long boxes.
We throw the backs out.
Yes. Apparently we found out a couple episodes that I have a lot of comics I haven't read in the past. And somebody else.
Yeah, sorry. I read mine when they, you know, hit the desk.
Excuse me for having too many comics at once. But anyways, to the point, we are digging through our comic book boxes, randomly choosing them and checking them out. And this is some material that probably neither one of us have read. Our collections are so different that we both have crazy stuff that we would have never picked up individually. And today is a perfect example of that. We have Too Much Coffee Man Saves the Universe. And this is a Too Much Coffee Man special published by Dark Horse Comics. It was published in Dark Horse Presents in four chapters throughout, I believe it's issue 92 through 95 of Dark Horse Presents, which also brought you Alien and Predator into the comics, just so you know that's a
secret. Yeah, it's kind of like all other publishers do. They kind of do that like short story collection of where they give you, if not the first issue, a preview of what the series is like, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or one that did it recently was the Image Weekly or the Image Weekly or Monthly magazine they had.
Oh,
released.
yeah, they were doing and that. It had, bit, yeah. Like and they did and whatnot.
Yeah, and they did the Negan backstory.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you remember that hardcover for do you know what it's called? I have it, and you haven't heard about it.
I mean, I've heard about it, but I don't know what it's called or anything. Jeff Lemire, somebody wrote, right? Or what's his face that's married to Kelly Sue DeConnick? Oh no, that was a different Walking Dead thing.
Brian K. Vaughan did a Walking Dead. I have that one too. That one's based in Europe during the outbreak. But no, to give an example, Image did like this monthly magazine, and they had like a episodic release of this backstory for Negan, which, if for anyone who doesn't know, that's like the major villain to Rick Grimes.
And
long story short, basically they had a chapter each release, and then they eventually collected it in like a, you know, collected format.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know. Maybe I've read that. I'm sure I have, because I've read every issue of Walking Dead, but I don't know.
It's something like He Lives or something.
Oh, is that the recent one that came out? Like,
yeah.
Okay. I haven't read that.
There's two. There's Negan that one.
Lives.
And then,
Negan Lives, right? That's what it's called.
That's one of them. There's another one where it's like his origin story.
Oh,
but it's the same idea with Dark Horse. They just, you know, they did this in the 90s? This was released what year?
Yeah, dude, this was like 97, I believe the publication was. Yeah, July 97, Dark Horse Comics.
A 90s comic, that's good. How's that possible? Right?
Yeah, it's insane. Well, it's an independent comic. That's probably what makes it so well. I mean, there was a lot of independent comics. Anyways, Too Much Coffee Man meets his maker. That's chapter one of it. And throughout this whole thing, it's by one guy, Shannon Wheeler. I have so much respect for this guy now after reading this first issue. He draws everything, he writes everything. This is his creation, and this is kind of like his only creation. This is all he's done, all he's really known for. You said he's based out of Portland, correct?
Yeah, so I have his Wikipedia article open, and it's definitely a lot of Too Much Coffee Man. And the most recent one was actually published by Boom Studios. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Besides that, as I skim through the page, I'm not seeing anything too major, but he definitely only works with Dark Horse and Boom. And he seems to have had a lot of stuff upwards of 2012.
Oh, wow. And he has his website where you can check out free comics that he posts up, like free. He's really like a cartoonist, not like a comic book artist. There's a, like, when you look at like differentiating stuff like that, like, it does make a difference, because these are more like Sunday strip type of feels than a typical comic book story.
And he also won an Eisner.
Awesome. He deserves it by all means. Dude, this book is so awesome. It is so, I've never read something so obscure and relatable at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's crazy. Like, and you can find it all on his website. He's got a Too Much Coffee Man omnibus.
Yeah, I have a lot of his issues. I wonder, I got to just dig through it. But anyways, this is broken up into four parts. I have it one collected edition into Too Much Coffee Man in the special that was published by Dark Horse. And you are reading the Dark Horse Presents individuals, how it's separated by chapters. Doesn't matter how you read it. It's just one consecutive like little mini story that it's all like 8 pages too, which I find super awesome.
Yeah, but I read it like super fast too. And it's an easy read.
And you could tell this guy has studied the art form. Like panel one says a lot, because when an object is closer, you give it a lot more definition, a lot more texture, a lot more detail. And we are right up in his eyeball and you see all the creases and curves. And I love the amount of detail we get around his eye. That's the first thing I noticed, was just the amount of lines on this panel.
And his pupil is kind of like the coffee mug.
Yes. And it's just like already floating in his head. And he's like just trying to get out of bed. And he just knows that the coffee is the only thing that's going to drag him out of bed. And Too Much Coffee Man's an extraordinary character, because for one, it is like kind of making fun of the superhero tropes. He does have a red outfit, but they're like kind of like pajama overalls. And even when you like see the back of him, it has that little butt flap with like the buttons and everything. And it's just hilarious. And his skull is literally like a regular human skull, but at his forehead, instead of like a hat or whatever, it's literally a coffee cup that literally gets filled up. It's such a unique and awesome creation. That's what fuels him. That's what keeps him going, just like many of us. You know, first page, I love the detail at the top. Like when you look at the lettering, but like when you look at the little figures, the bag of coffee beans spilled over, a cup, you know, Too Much Coffee Man in different poses, the already warm cup of coffee, those are just like, I just love little stuff like that, little extra art that is just adding to art, not even to the story at that point. But dude, he's just like literally praying to his coffee cup. And he's just trying to get his cup out, but it's just, it's so, that's what I do every morning. The first thing I do in the morning is I feed my cat and pour a cup of coffee. Like that's how like I start. That's the only way I could begin. And those are my first movements for my day. And I don't know about you, but this first page was like the most relatable thing, that I can't function. I need you, please. Like once I get you inside me, I can fulfill my destiny and I can do stuff. And you end up don't really
begging coffee for like its approval.
Yes. And I love how he's just like, I have energy, I can do it. And he takes two steps and he's like, I'm tired, I'm done. All right, I guess I could be doing this. And then we get introduced to these carcinogenic smoke angels. And they give up introspective.
I saw that and I was like, this is like, I was expecting something else completely different. And it went like out there.
Like he gets introspective on life. Like I'm on page 3 now, where we get like that 2001 A Space Odyssey little centerpiece right there. And he starts tripping out, and just because he starts like kind of just thinking about things too much. And I guess like it's like a coffee anxiety, where you're just overthinking and overwhelmed, and then everything kind of hits you, and then all of a sudden you're just like, you realize like everything's going too fast but too slow, and you're not getting anything done. And then he's like, I'm depressed. And then he ends up like having a heart attack because of the coffee and goes to heaven. But dude, this panel, look how many like different like art styles he kind of kicks in here. We have like the fumes coming out of his lips, and then like his eyeballs are all tripped out, and then he's spiraling around, and then we go into like a sperm coffee, which is like hilariously looking. We have the 2001 kind of little baby right there, and just how he's just kind of, the panels are now black backgrounds instead of the white, where it's really like he's really deep inside of his mind in a dark space.
Well, he's also physically inside his mind when you look on that bottom right panel.
Yes. Yeah. It's like one of those like those Russian dolls that like you open them and then there's a smaller one. And
yeah,
it's
just, exactly.
Like, coming out like that. But you know, you could tell that he takes his time when he works on this, because you could kind of tell that this wasn't all done in like a page a day or something. I feel like he might leave it for a bit and then come back to it, just because like sometimes the art style shifts so dramatically from one panel to another. He's definitely like in a different headspace when he comes back to his work.
Oh, definitely. And I couldn't find anything, but it definitely looks inspired by, you know, we were talking about this is a straight up underground comic. Like everything about this is extremely like inspired from Robert Crumb, mm-hmm. Dave Sims, and, you know, all those independent creators that were kind of, you know, not associated with the major publications back then.
Yeah. And he stands out like among them. Like he's really kind of, I think he hits the bar just like some of those greats do. It reminds me of another creator that did like the Mystery Men comic book and the Flaming Carrot. It's crazy. My girlfriend's met him at Comic-Con, but I didn't get to meet him. His name, it starts with a B. I'm totally spacing it out.
I'll look him up right now.
But all these guys kind of came out in that, you know, him and the Flame Carrot and all that kind of came out at the same time and started getting their uprising at the same time. I'm wondering why we haven't had a Too Much Coffee Man cartoon or like a series of shorts that were animated.
Is the guy's name Bob Burden?
Yes, Bob Burden. Okay. There you go.
And Flaming Carrot Comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be covering some of those soon. I'm really excited because I have a bunch of them.
But, oh man, this dude really is a carrot as a superhero.
Yes, it's hilarious. But it's fine. So Too Much Coffee Man dies and then he goes to heaven. He ends up having a cigarette, finds out heaven's flammable and ends up burning heaven down. And they send him to hell and saying that he's going to the deepest level of hell, past like the office workers that slave their life away. And then past the endless fashion victims rooted firmly in overpriced cafes that ache to be artistic. And he's like, you're going to. The hell you're going to is filled with homelessness, poverty, corruption, police brutality, pollution, television, government censored news, alienation, and urban decay. See ya. And then he's like, wait a minute, I know where I'm at. I'm at home.
Yeah, and then that's it.
And that's the end of chapter one. And you're just like, it's just brilliant.
And then you find out Too Much Coffee Man is just about hell on earth.
Yes, basically. Just like how he lives like his everyday life. But it's just cool. It's a really great book. Every panel, it reminds me kind of some of like that Hey Arnold, Rocco's Modern Life, like weird views and whatnot, like just like weird angles at some points.
In like this 90s New York.
Yes. Like you get that vibe right away. And even like on chapter two, the paneling where the lettering for Too Much Coffee Man is, how it kind of has that dip and it really makes your eyes like trace the words. That's just, it really, when you're reading it, it warps your brain a little bit. And it just feels like kind of awkward as you scroll through it. But he's essentially just like making assumptions because it sounds like his sidekick, Siggy, I guess.
Yeah,
like
I know. Kid, basically.
Is like upset at him. So he leaves a message back. But dude, you turn the page and look how like white this next giant panel is. You know what I mean? Like before we're filled with lines and there's a lot of dark, a lot of shadowing and a lot of like inking, but his apartment just feels so bare and open and empty. And all he has is like a chair in the middle of the room. I think it just felt like a very empty feeling right when you turn that page.
Yeah. And you notice in that whole page, there's not a single contrast in terms of like any darker colors or black, really.
No. And it's just weird. Like it just stands out. It like makes you feel alone, isolated. And empty. Yeah. And exactly how he's portrayed. Like that's crazy how you could turn the page and his art really does like lighten up and you just feel a totally like different feeling when you turn it.
And he's like empty, but he's also physically empty on coffee.
Yeah. And then and speaking of which, he takes a sip and he realizes he didn't pour coffee in it and it's just milk. And he's realizing how bad milk tastes by itself because the influence of perception. Preconception. And he's like, well, I expected coffee to like hit my mouth when I drank it, but instead I got milk and I thought it was going to be one thing. But since it was something else, my brain realized it was wrong and it tastes bad. And milk in an objective reality tastes bad, but he expects it to taste good. So it does. And it's just this whole little rant on like, it's
talking insane. To himself, but
yeah, his preconception. Face is... Yes. That's what this whole entire issue is about. And then he just like change tones. He gets a phone call and it's from some random guy from like space, I guess. It's kind of weird, but that's the end of chapter two which is, it's just a trip, you know, it's just a total trip.
Hold on, my coffee's ready.
Yes. Yeah. And chapter three. So chapter three was a lot of fun. Cause he gets this phone call from this guy from space, and it's kind of just a very casual thing and whatnot, but he ends up, this alien is essentially invading Earth, and he's like, oh no, we're going to make it better. And him being kind of like the stereotypical, I guess, American patriot that we could even see on the news today pretty frequently is like, no, that's not right, because you're an alien and all aliens are bad. And he punches in the face. Like, doesn't matter how much you want to make this country better, I'm not going to let you. And he ends up going on a crazy adventure with him.
Too Much Coffee Man get so ripped when he punches him?
Dude, right? His arm gets all bulgy and everything. Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's that total, like, just American patriot. Like, all of a sudden, like, you're just this huge, hunky, like, dude just taking out anything that's evil that comes into this country that is probably going to help us.
And then it's interesting, though, when he punches him, the alien tries to explain what they're going to do to make the world better.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to accept it. Like, he's just like, nah, that's not.
And he's like, never. And it's just like, what is he? He says he'll stop all warfare, end world hunger, cure all disease, and perfect birth control. And then Too Much Coffee Man just punches him in the face still.
Yes. And it's gonna the perfect template to elevate the human spirit. And he's like, no. And then you turn the page, and dude, we got this total Frank Miller, like, Sin City, like.
I know, this exactly looks like a Frank Miller scene.
Yes, this entire, just no words, just an epic, like, dark, like, fight scene. And then the guy just takes off. He's like, oh, we all realize that there's too much of a mess to clean up, and we're just going to dip. And then the phone rings, and then Too Much Coffee's man is like, I'm not answering that. And that leads us to chapter four, which chapter four helps you realize that he's a great artist, because this hand is beautifully drawn. Like the nail, like the detail on this. Dude, it is just too good.
If there's one thing that's almost like impossible to perfect, it's hands and feet.
Mm-hmm. And it was it's just something cool to admire. Like all of his like line work across everything is really good. And it adds a lot of depth to his art, but it's crazy how he has a black background and just the singular hand. And you can tell that's a like kind of something he's working on, because the way it's curved, and you see different parts of the hand, and it's like different angles of it, of the finger and the lighting. Like that's just, it's just awesome he included that into it. But here he's like, I'm preconditioned already to answer the phone when it rings, but I don't want to answer it, but I need to answer it because there's something inside me making me do it. And he's trying to control himself. And then again, we get this huge, it does feel like a Frank Miller panel. Like when you look at Hard Boiled or something, did you ever read that one?
I never read Hard Boiled. No.
Well, there was the artist that did the art on that, and it's just like super detailed. And that's what I love about this page right now, is like the cracks in the walls, like his apartment's kind of more detailed, but there's so much white in it. Again, it gives you again another feeling from what you just had on that black page with the hand.
Yeah. And what's crazy is the only contrast you really get is the coffee.
Yeah,
when you look at the image. So that's usually intended, and to be honest, I couldn't figure that out, and maybe he just did that on purpose. But
right, you know. Yeah, I think it is just like, it's that independent vibe. Like, again, maybe day-to-day work, how he was feeling and different like emotional tones that he had at the time. And just kind of pumping this out pretty much for fun, it seems like. I'm making millions off of this.
You mean you didn't hear about the Too Much Coffee Man movie?
I would be so down for that. Like, why hasn't Seth Rogen picked that up? You know what I mean?
He already produced The Boys. Make him produce
exactly. This would be perfect for him. But this is cool. He meets that alien again, and they essentially just like, it's funny. It's such a thing like in The Hobbit when you read it, and they're like, and then 4 days of battle happened, but Bilbo got knocked out. And 4 days later, he woke up, and you skip all like the adventure action scenes. It's exactly what happens here. Takes off, goes to space, saves the universe. And essentially he comes back, and that's where we find him. They're just like, oh,
they're just hanging out.
Yes. And he's like, that was great. It was a good time. And it's kind of like a very casual like
exchange. He's like, thanks for saving the universe. All right, no problem. And then
he's just like, later. And then he meets up with Siggy.
He's like, I forgot my house.
And then you meet Siggy, the little, looks like the little prince, honestly. But man, oh, it turns out Siggy was the guy that was attacking everything and almost brought the end of the universe just because he wanted attention.
He just wanted attention.
And then he's just like, oh, you little nut. Well, don't do it again.
Yeah, and then that's literally it.
That's it.
And I was like, oh, okay.
So good. It's just such a like an entertaining book that totally just totally different from anything we've read, anything I've read recently for sure. Very enlightening. Kind of realized a lot about myself when I read it. Awesome thing. I don't know. I couldn't recommend it more. Do you have any final thoughts on it?
I always took it kind of as like a social kind of like critique. On top of that, I read briefly on Amazon for the link that he puts to purchase the book. It's semi-autobiographical and considered hyper-intellectual, high-concept comic, appeals to both inside and outside of the comic book world. And Henry Rollins is a fan.
Hell yeah. That's how you know it's good.
If it's that's how you know it's a good read. But no, I liked it a lot. It was refreshing in the middle of all this like DC we've been like just indulging in.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those things that like it's straight up critiquing American consumerism and American culture in the 90s, but it's somehow like still like
very relevant.
Relevant. So it's one of those things that like, again, it's kind of what a comic can only get away with. Mm-hmm. Like this wouldn't fit anywhere else and no one would give it a chance, but because he wanted to make his own comic, he did it. And because he did that, he was able to tell the story he wanted to and also tell the message.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So totally. It's a trippy read.
Well, thanks for hanging, Brandon.
Thanks for inviting me.